Mike's Podcast number 7. Today is Thursday, January 17th, 2013. And as always, I am joined by my partner in ag,
Corey,
Nick Klump.
What's going on?
How you doing today, buddy?
Doing well.
Good. Well, today's a good day.
Why is that?
We got new music.
Oh, yeah?
You know, we got the intro music in
today.
Yeah,
you played a little bit for me earlier. It's pretty wild there,
it's
Corey.
Yeah. If anybody can guess what date that was recorded, we'll be happy to send a free hat. How's that? Ooh. A nice hat. Everybody wants a hat. So if you know what year that was recorded, send it to the number 2agfanatics@gmail.com, and we'll get your hat sent out to you. So I will tell you that the artist is William Moore. Graham, did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
I just mentioned Graham. I am excited today for another reason, Nick.
Why is that?
It's like that. We are blessed with the presence of Mr. Graham Utter. It's kind of like bringing the band back together. It's kind of got me giddy today.
Yeah. Should be a good one today.
I think so. You know, another thing we're going to do today, we're going to talk about some risk management tools in the overused phrase of the risk management toolbox. It seems like we use that phrase all the time, and we're just as guilty of it. But we'll talk a little bit about what that toolbox consists of and just some different options that are available out there. So with that being said, let's
ask him the question, huh?
Yeah, well, let's introduce him first. Let's bring in Graham Utter. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on today.
So a little background on Graham. Graham and I worked together for about 3 years. Graham's now downstairs in the agronomy area here at Growmark. But we worked together side by side, shared a cubicle for just about a little over 3 years. So we get to know each other real well.
Tight quarters.
And then Nick comes in.
Even tighter quarters.
Yeah, even tighter quarters, because we shared a cubicle still with the three of us. So it's kind of, like I said, bringing the band back together, and I'm pretty excited about it today. So with that being said, Nick, please ask Graham Utter the question.
So Graham, tell us a little bit, something that is unusual about you or interesting that you'd like to share with everybody listening out there.
I don't know if it's unusual. I guess one thing that a lot of people don't know here at work is that I also farm, and so that's a little bit unusual. And I got to say, that opening question, guys, it's kind of like the Jeff Foxworthy, you know, where he asks, what are you wearing, and where are you, and what are you wearing?
Yeah.
So you really put people on the spot there.
We do.
It's hard to be interesting.
It's not hard to be interesting. What I'm waiting for is for somebody to have a hobby that I can talk about. I think that's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a note passed to me by our producer, Alan Duran.
Uh-oh.
And he didn't even recognize you with the new haircut.
Hey, you know, that's the way it goes. Sometimes you got to roll incognito.
Well, for those that know Graham or have seen Graham speak before at a meeting, Graham used to have a head of hair, and no longer does he have a head of hair.
So what's the reason behind it, Graham?
Sporting it for the winter. You know, it's much easier. You don't have to worry about your hair going outside, getting wet. You can wear a hat. You don't have to worry about it. No worries. You know, they said that Einstein wore the same clothes every day, so you never had to think about it. See, that's genius.
That is enlightening.
Just like cutting your hair off, then you don't have to worry about it.
That is genius.
Think about it.
There you go.
Wise words from a wise man. You know, I do want to say this one thing. I did enjoy an evening last night. Got together with a real good friend of mine and hadn't seen that person in quite a while, and they are now going to be a new listener, so
nice.
Welcome, and thanks for listening. So with that being said, guys, let's talk about markets first. Graham, feel free to join in on this.
Mm-hmm.
We talk markets. I know you're familiar with markets, so I think you still are, right?
Yep,
all right.
Still watch them every day.
All right. You know, some things that are going on right now, Nick, what are you seeing?
Well, I think yesterday we got the ethanol numbers that came out, and you know, corn used for ethanol was down about 4.5 million bushels from last week. So that's not a positive thing on the demand side we're seeing right now. But today the export numbers came out, which were in line with expectations and towards the higher end for corn, and well above the high end on beans. So
yeah, we blew the bean number out of the water.
Yeah. But the market's not reflecting that today, really. I mean, we're seeing a little bit of setback, but I think that's, you know, has to do with a little bit of the rally that we've seen after last Friday's report. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, the thing I notice, and I know we'll get to this risk management topic later, but, you know, I think a lot of farmers out there are really eyeing what's going to happen here in February because it's a crucial month for crop insurance. And everybody's a little bit scared to make any bold sales or bold moves right now. But, you know, with the price, what it's done recently, it's come off quite a bit. You know, we've recovered, but, you know, we're hanging around in this 580, 590 range. Hopefully we can hold that up through February as we get that crop, that spring crop insurance number.
Very nice. Yeah, that's an excellent point. And for those that are listening, that's one reason why we brought Graham on today is we're trying to get a farmer perspective of risk management tools and the markets. So that's an excellent point that you make there, Graham.
I guess real quick, my question for Graham is are you thinking that farmers are holding off right now by selling even on this rally?
Oh yeah. I definitely think so because you know I think they're wanting to know where their insurance you know. Is going to come out at, you know, where their real protection is going to be from crop insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to go right into insurance and talk about it a little bit?
That's an excellent segue.
Wow.
Let's do it. Wow. You're a pro at this. You're going to take our job.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, the thing I'm watching and everybody has probably heard some things about crop insurance this year and worried about premiums increasing. You know, everything I've read, seen, heard, studied up on, it's showing that crop insurance is probably going to be the same or actually a little bit lower than last year as far as your premium cost to the farmer.
That's an excellent point, Graham. We actually, I've been traveling with some country folks and country financial representatives, mm-hmm. and that is true. They are not going to increase rates mm-hmm. this year, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that the farm bill hasn't changed with the same farm bill, and we're seeing that, so there hasn't mm-hmm. been any changes there? So with that being said, rates haven't increased.
I think the numbers I saw, Corey and Nick, were a 4% lower premiums in corn in the state of Illinois as far as premium cost if you kept the same exact insurance, did the same thing you did last year. And on soybeans, it was 9%.
Wow. So even after that drought we had...
Even after the drought. Now, the interesting thing is last year, the RMA came out with a statement that said that they were going to kind of do this long-term easing effect of payments so that we didn't see a lot of volatility between years. And so they've built this cushion in that when we do have years like this drought year, they've already got that built up in their, you know, in their bank that they can pay out, and then they don't have to adjust the premiums majorly the next year. So I think it's a good thing overall for the farmer. Even if he pays a little more each year, he's not got a lot of volatility in those premium payments.
Yeah. Well, with crop insurance, you know, so you're saying that most guys looking at it from a selling standpoint or making forward sales for next year's crop, that's not probably not going to happen until February.
Well, you know, I think everybody wants to wait and see what that number is. I'm not opposed to making sales right now. I think it's a good idea. I've made some sales just conservatively ahead of getting the crop even in the ground. But you know, it's one of those things. If we turn off as a dry year, I think guys are afraid to make sales right now at what could be a modest number. You know, we saw it go to $8 last year, and we can see it again pretty easy this year.
Yeah, last year, about the same time, every analyst you talked to or listened to was saying about the same story as what they're saying today.
And even this year, Mr. Dale Dirkhole said $9 corn possibly in the
corn.
Old crop. I mean, that's unheard of from Dale.
I know. So. It's But, you know, you get a lot of stories of, hey, this crop could be big, 99 million acres, 98 million acres, and mm-hmm. if that happens. But we got to get the moisture.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, one thing I'll add on the insurance topic before we move away from it is I hear this recommended to not take the harvest price option this year, save a little bit of money on your premium. As a farmer, as a crop insurance agent, I think that's not a good idea. I think that we should continue to take that harvest price option. I know it costs more, but the small amount that it pays you extra. I mean, look at last year. Look at what happened. You know, you had a good spring price that you could be profitable with, but the way that it ran up, I mean, having that harvest price option is the way to go. So, you know, I just want to encourage everybody not to get, you know, tied up in that little bit of extra cost.
Yeah. Do you think another reason why they would rather do the spring price or the February price over the harvest is because they know then ahead of time, so they've got the entire marketing year to further market?
Well, and yeah, I mean, they're still going to get that spring price, right? That's going to be their base, but sure, they have the possibility of getting the higher one in the fall. So,
but there's a small premium.
There's you pay a premium for it. So,
well, let's go on here just real quick here. So we've talked about the federal crop insurance, but it's interesting. There's other insurance coverages that are out there that are RMA approved, other than federal crop insurance, and one mm-hmm. being weather insurance. And right. This is starting to take off, actually. You hear a lot of folks talking about it. A lot of agents are selling it. Graham, is this something that you've ever done before? Use some kind of a weather model?
I've never bought any myself, but I do know that it's good supplemental insurance. And the biggest thing, I think a lot of farmers look at it when they hear it, they think it's a replacement for crop insurance, and it's really not. It's a supplemental insurance. So it's on top of your crop insurance. You're still going to need your crop insurance like always. This is just to help, you know, it's to help pay you for that area where it is actually not just covering your expenses, but it is actually profit for you. So it's a good tool. Keep in mind, it's probably going to cost you mm-hmm. about double what crop insurance costs you.
Although it's RMA approved, it's not subsidized.
It's RMA approved, not subsidized by the government.
That's the difference, yeah.
So it'll cover you in those severe, drastic years. You'll get paid out like this past summer. You would have got paid out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But on kind of mediocre to good years, obviously it's not going to.
Right. It's only intended for the major crop shortfalls, you know,
to cover. The major perils that are out there.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the cost, there's a little bit more cost involved in it too. There are other derivative strategies that are out there that you can talk to and use, but I want to go back. One example, I guess, would be if you had 85% revenue protection, mm-hmm. this product isn't to cover or get rid of that 85%. It's just to supplement that extra 5, 10, 15% from a coverage standpoint.
Right, and you can determine how much coverage you would like to add, and really what it generally revolves around is how much do you want to pay? How much more do you want to pay for this type of coverage? And then you can determine, okay, well, that gets me up to 95% coverage or whatever level you would like to see.
Perfect. Well, we always start with crop insurance when we start talking about your toolbox, if mm-hmm. you will, from a risk management standpoint, because it's kind of the base. Everybody wants to start with that to get that coverage set up. But then we've got other ideas or solutions that are out there. And some people, I think, get this when you start talking about risk management and toolboxes and all this stuff, mm-hmm. that people think, well, it's got to be a 5, 6, 17-leg option strategy that's mm-hmm. complex. But there are some pretty easy ones that are out there. And mm-hmm. I mean,
well, I think you start at your local elevator, right? I mean, you can
absolutely
just start there with basic HTAs, so you're locking in a futures price, but you're leaving your basis open. Or you can do the opposite on a basis contract where you're setting your basis, leaving your futures side open. And I think that's very simple strategies to utilize at the local elevator mm-hmm. level.
Yeah. Sure. And a lot of elevators will do options for you now, too. So you don't, you know, it's not as complex as you think of having your own brokerage account. You can go directly to your elevator and buy an option, sell an option. They'll work with you on that now.
Now, going back to the cash grain contracts and the basis contracts, Graham, have you used any as a producer?
Oh, yeah. Every year, you know, I kind of do a mix of futures in my own brokerage account, hedge to arrives at the elevator, basis contracts at the elevator with those HTAs, options contracts both at the elevator and on my own. So I try to do a mix of all of those things. And, you know, one of the big things that I think farmers are a little bit skeptical about is how they're going to manage that position as a whole. And so that can get to be cumbersome. And so, you know, if they do centralize it all at the elevator generally has a nice report they can give you that has all your positions on it. You know exactly where you stand. So it really isn't that complex. The important thing is just finding a good, you know, grain merchandiser or good elevator to work with.
Yeah, excellent points. Well, then we've got so kind of the elevator strategies, but then mm-hmm. you move, and there are brokerage strategies. You had mentioned
sure.
option strategies,
mm-hmm.
and Nick, you and I work a lot with the futures and options upstairs. But you know, these are strategies that can be used for many reasons. One, mm-hmm. we can use it to lock in a floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can use it to kind of put a fence or a you know around the market, so you've kind of locked in a floor and you've got some you've capped on your upside. There's some products that are out there like that, but you guys want to talk about those a little bit?
I'll just one thing you I'll will. Add to
you,
that.
You've been stealing the show.
Yeah, you know, one thing I'll add to that, Corey, is just that you know if you are doing HTAs at the elevator, if you're doing options at the elevator, you can still have. I mean, it's important just as much as it is to have that good grain merchandiser or broker, grain broker you're working with. Have a commodity broker that you're working with because he's the guy that's sitting there every day, day in and day out, coming up with ideas for his clients to help protect their needs. And so I'd ask you guys, is there anything you're looking at right now or putting out there?
Yeah, I think –
We had one. We put out a recommendation yesterday, and it was basically just a simple strategy to buy a call on the old crop corn. And coming from me, I'm bullish, so I think that's a great idea. But it's very simple. It's a little bit, you know, expensive, around 30 or 40 cents, but I think that's it allows you to participate in the upside even more. So mm-hmm. I think that's something that needs to be looked at right now. And
absolutely. I think one of the most important things looking at risk management and all the tools that are available is look at yourself, look at your own risk tolerance. What are you comfortable doing? Get a good person that you can talk to about mm-hmm. the commodity, you know, a commodity broker, and have that elevator merchandiser, originator that you're comfortable with working with to help you in all of the strategies that are available.
And there's, you know, the thing is, if you don't know much right now, there's people out there willing to teach you for free. You know, you get an account with them that you're going to trade through, they will teach you. You know, I know we did that at AgriVisor, and I'm sure you guys are still doing that more and more today. So.
Yeah, education is definitely the key. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you're right. Nick, we've done quite a few recommendations and things that out there here recently. We've mm-hmm. we've had some, you know, some are strategies in order to lock in floors, like we've said, you know, take advantage of upside. But you know, we're talking options, but there's just simple. If you're willing to margin a position, it's you know that is part of the risk. There's the margin exposure, but you can just sell a future mm-hmm. position. I mean, we've got customers that'll do that as well.
Right, and I think that you know that takes the right person, obviously, to be able to willing to margin that account. But you know, like with options, if you're buying a call or buying a put, you know the cost up front, and that's your ultimate risk. Futures is a little bit different, as we mentioned. You might have to margin it, but if you're willing to do that, it can turn out to be a pretty good product in the end.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's another little area out there, there are a lot of other areas that we probably haven't touched on. One would be there's some products in the over-the-counter market that kind of took off there for a while. Companies have been selling those since 2001-02. A lot of farmers are using those, depending on the market conditions. We won't go into those a lot, but it's another thing that's out there. Mm-hmm. Graham, do you have any other ideas or thoughts that maybe you want to share with us?
I think the important thing is just to be aware of everything you can do. And, you know, if you build this thing like a pyramid, you know, you look at your risk management strategy, and at the base, I think, is the government-subsidized crop insurance.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the core of your protection. And from there, you pile on small bricks of options and HTAs, futures, but really, you know, you really need the people surrounding you to be smart about it and want to help you and to give you ideas and to teach you. I think that's the key to it, is surrounding yourself with smart people who know how to help you and know what your operation needs.
Well said.
Very good.
Well said. Nick.
Corey.
You're bullish.
I am.
You're bullish. He's all bulled up over here.
Yeah.
Graham, bullish or bear? Now, don't put your farmer hat on when we're talking about this.
No, I would say I'm pretty. I'm skeptically bullish. I'm skeptic because I want the price to stay high through February to get the high crop insurance guarantee. But you know, I don't know if it's going to happen. It can change so fast on us, and once it starts, it's hard to stop. So
mm-hmm. Slippery slope.
Yep.
Yeah, Corey. I tend to.
All three of us
can't
be bulls, can we?
I know we're not.
No.
And I don't,
yeah.
I'm not sold 100% that this market's going to run. I think if we start to get decent weather, I really think with the demand situation that we have, slipping demand in ethanol, slipping demand in exports, those are all things that we have to look at. And I think if we have a big crop with low demand, well, that's going to cause lower prices. So mm-hmm. not sold, yeah. But I'm not sure. You know, when I go around and I'm talking to folks, I say $5 to $6. I think five is the low range, but I think six is the high range. And you know, maybe we get to 6.25, 6.5, but I don't think we're going to get to 9. I'm going to say that. Dale's wrong.
All you got to know how to do is predict the weather, and then you'd know everything.
That's exactly right. Well, I was with a weather guy, and that proved me wrong last year. So I don't even know if I can listen to the weather guys anymore. So, but there's a lot of variables out there. I think that's the thing. So, and that's why I'm building a plan, you know, instead of trying to hit the highs, it's always good to have a plan in place making sales that are profitable. So that you're able, at the end of the day, you'll be happy with the prices you get.
You hit on something there, Corey. Demand destruction.
Demand destruction.
And I haven't heard that term for quite some time. I think I just took the words out of his mouth. But that's what he was trying to say. You know what's going to happen next year if we do have a decent crop? I mean, that's the big fear, right? Is Dale has worried before about the prices just being cut in half. If we've depleted demand down so hard and then we come out with the biggest crop ever, you know, that's a pretty ugly picture to paint. But
it'll take a while to reverse that demand, but it will pick back up. You know, when we see prices hit $4.50, $5.
I was going to say, $2 corn, ethanol looks pretty good.
Yeah, ethanol looks real good. You know, but, I mean, really, oil hasn't been that expensive, you know, mm-hmm. hasn't spiked like it has in years past too. So that mm-hmm. puts a little pressure on the ethanol market. So there's a lot of things out there that are a little different than what they have been the last 3 years, and it has me a little concerned. So that's why I'm not a bull, but I'm not necessarily a bear either. So I'm kind of in between. I'll waffle. Well, guys, we've been here about 20 minutes or so, and I've learned that the longer these episodes go and the more overtime we take, the less our listeners stick around. So we'll keep this short and sweet. So with that, Graham, I really thank you for coming down and spending time with us today.
No problem, Graham. Yes, thanks for having me.
It's been a lot of fun. It has been a lot of fun. We miss you upstairs, so just for the record. As always, we want to thank you for listening to the Ag Fanatics podcast. Provide us with feedback to the episode today at 2agfanatics@gmail.com. Also, send any future episode suggestions that you might have as well as, let me rephrase this, if you know the year that our new music was recorded, the intro and outro, email that to us as well, and we will send a hat to the new.
We got an outro too.
Yeah, the outro.
Oh, the intro
that was a word you made up.
Magical. Well, guys, thank you very much. Thank you, listeners. And as always, this is the Ag Fanatics, keeping ag fun and informative. Signing off.